There was one particular occasion where I was taking somebody out on a guided tour. He was replacing my boss out there. So I said, come on, you know, jump the Land Rover and I'll take you off to the other batteries and I'll introduce you to people, show you around and the ropes and stuff. And we were driving down the road. And as we were going along, I spotted this Egyptian vulture on this telegraph pole. And I was like, oh my God, is that Egyptian vulture? So I hit the brakes and I jumped out of my Land Rover, grabbing my binoculars. And this other guy was leaping out the other side, cocking his weapon. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, well, we're getting attacked. I said, no, it's an Egyptian vulture. I just wanted to see the Egyptian vulture. And he just really kind of lost it. He went, they told me about you. They said you were like this. I said, put your gun away and come and watch this bird. And he's like, you're mad, you're mad. But we laughed about it afterwards. You saw the funny side of it.
A soldier with a passion for birds. That was Sergeant Geoffrey McMullen, who served in the Royal Artillery for 22 years. I'm Frank Gardner, and I share his fondness for birdwatching. In this programme, I'll be looking at the sometimes surprising link between soldiers and birds, and I'll be examining the curious comfort soldiers get from such an interest in times of extreme stress. It's a thread we can trace all the way back from those now serving in Iraq and Afghanistan to their First World War compatriots. One of those was John William Streets, a sergeant in the 12th York and Lancaster Regiment, who was something of a poet.
Hushed is the shriek of hurtling shells, and hark, somewhere within that bit of soft blue sky, grand in his loneliness, his ecstasy, his lyric wild and free, carols a lark.
John William Streets was killed on the first day of the Somme offensive in 1916. His poem, A Lark Above the Trenches, was published posthumously.
I in the trench, he lost in heaven afar, I dream of love, its ecstasy he sings, doth lure my soul to love till like a star it flashes into life. Oh, tireless wings, that beat love's message into melody, a song that touches in this place remote gladness supreme in its undying note, and stirs to life the soul of memory. "'Tis strange that while you're beating into life, men here below are plunged in sanguine strife."
It wasn't only those with a talent for poetry who felt a connection with birds. Ordinary soldiers, stuck in the trenches, conveyed the horrors of the First World War in diaries and letters home. In the midst of their life and death struggle, many found relaxation and comfort in the natural world. This was reported in the newspapers at the time, such as the officer of a London regiment who stood for half an hour beside a plover's nest to prevent the eggs being trampled on by his passing troops. A Scottish miner, killed shortly afterwards on the Western Front, told a friend,
"If it weren't for the birds, what a hell it would be. I watch them singing, and something comes into my throat that makes me almost greet."
This Scottish miner's sentiments are echoed almost 100 years on by Sergeant McMullen.
I was part of the first NATO troops into Bosnia, which was the I-4. We used to stick GOT on the end of that. I forgot. I was actually based in a place called Jajca. Beautiful, beautiful little place. Nice castle on the hill. Obviously, the devastation was all around. So in amongst all that devastation, there was this real beauty as well. There was hedgerows everywhere. Every bush that you passed as you drove down the road had a red-backed shrike singing from it, you know. Golden orioles were literally wall to wall, you know. I had my first wryneck nest in an orchard, which is another woodpecker, you know. I'd just sit there for hours and look at these birds, you know. It was just absolutely tremendous.
Well, I've certainly found birdwatching to be a great stress reliever. In 2003, I was in Basra, staying in the grounds of Saddam's palace there, soon after the Iraq invasion. We'd come back in from accompanying a British Army patrol around the city, take off our flak jackets and helmets, and I'd just go off with my binoculars and unwind by birdwatching along the canals and fields within the palace walls. There'd be colourful bee-eaters, plovers, and these incredibly noisy birds called Iraq babblers. Back in the First World War, a man called, ironically, Charles Raven, volunteered for service in France in 1917 as a frontline army chaplain. He wrote about his experiences in a book called In Praise of Birds, published after the war.
A more irritable battalion could hardly have been found. Tramping past the wreck that had once been Arras, over that accursed ridge, and on, when darkness came, into a poisonous row of Boche dugouts, verminous within and shell-visited without. Settling in was a dismal business. We were too sore even to grumble. And then, in the morning, the miracle happened. Headquarters was in an old signaller's station, and its entrance was festooned with German wires and decorated with insulation.